Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Acts 19. I'm getting way out of line, way out of order in my notes, but we'll come back to them. Just before Acts 19, the very end of Acts 18, it says in verse 24, "Now there was a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus, and he was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord." In fact, let me just do this. The NASB says he was mighty in the scriptures. Verse 25, "This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus." See, we have a lot of speaking concerning Jesus. Folks, how many know it's important to pay attention to words that are used in your Bible? Amen? Is anybody here today?
Yes.
Raise your hands so I know you're breathing. Okay. It's important for us to pay attention to words that are in your Bible. And it says that Apollos was versed, he was mighty in the scriptures, and he spoke and taught things accurately according, he taught things concerning Jesus. Do you understand? Contrast that with what Paul said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "Thanks be to God," which is verses we've looked at. It says, "who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him," or you could say the knowledge that he has, "in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ in God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. One aroma from death to death, the other aroma from life to life. And who's adequate for these things? Well, we're not like many that are peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity," notice what he says. He didn't say we're speaking concerning God. He said we're speaking from God. We speak in Christ in the sight of God. Do you see the difference between where Paul was speaking from and where Apollos was speaking from before he met Aquila and Priscilla? He was speaking about things concerning Jesus. We've gotten really good at speaking about things that are concerning Jesus or have to do with Jesus. But we need to start learning how to speak from him in the presence of him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Folks, there is a difference. I said there is a difference. So when we're talking about recognizing open doors, we've talked about this fact that when we are willing to walk through open doors, it allows Daddy to reveal others to others that he's associated with us. Folks, that's important because it takes it out of the realm of, well, my book says versus what your book says. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of books. There's a lot of religious books on the planet. But we've got to come to the place where we're mighty in scriptures and we're mighty in speaking things from him. That shouldn't be an uncomfortable place for us because we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Did you hear what I just said? That shouldn't be uncomfortable for us. Because we're one spirit with him and we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Paul says to the Corinthian church, he said, do you not know that you're the temple of the Spirit of God and that he dwells in you? So it's important for us when we live life to never lose sight of the fact that we need to develop in not just speaking things concerning Jesus, but we're actually come to the place where Paul was, and we speak from him in the sight of him. He said that again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He repeated it again. I challenge you to meditate on that and let the Spirit of God show you that there is a difference. The challenge is we've been so used to and comfortable with just speaking things about Jesus that are concerning him. You know, if you put Jesus in the middle and you draw a circle, all the things that concern Jesus that are about him. We've gotten comfortable learning how to speak from that place. And a lot of times what happens is we get so comfortable in that place that we get swayed over into piety is not a word, not a good word for it, but you know, you've seen attitudes of folks, they're so into living for him that they don't let him live through them. And the challenge with that is this, because Paul said this, he said, the law of Moses, he says, the gospel will set you free from all things that the law couldn't. And part of the thing, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself into maybe a next series, but part of the things that he's communicating there is the gospel. Jesus said, whom the Son has set free is truly free. The gospel in its purest form, it has not been overlaid with the thoughts of man, keeps a human being or brings a human being to the place because of his interaction with the presence of him to a place of constant change and therefore constant freedom. Whereas what he's saying with the law, there are things that the environment of law cannot set you free from, because really what you're doing is it puts you to a place of you're trying to achieve a level of development, but you're not changing. It gives you the idea that you're changing, but you're not changing. You're just getting more pious. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? How many people have met a person who they were so into living for God that they scrutinized everything that you did? Whether or not you observed this day or that day, or whether you ate this or that, or didn't eat this or that, or whatever it would be. You know, fill in the blank, you've met folks. And they're all well-intending, they all mean well, and they all love God, and they all, you know, Paul said the Jews have a zeal for God. But it's not according to revelation knowledge. Because see, the revelation knowledge is always revealing the person of him. And if we learn how to hang out with the person of him, then he always leads us to constantly be changing. And every time we change, we can become more free. Otherwise, we're just wrapped up in learning about him. And it keeps us from focusing on changing us. I don't want to learn about him. I want to learn from him. Amen? You see the difference? So when we're talking about living and recognizing open doors, we're really talking about, folks, in order for us to do this, we've got to come to the place where we stop trying to achieve a picture of what we think a Christian is. and just learn how to be comfortable in His presence. Did you hear what I just said? It's amazing. You get a group of Christians in a room, and the presence of God comes and rests upon. There's a lot of folks who are extremely uncomfortable, and they have the same DNA as Him, but they're very uncomfortable with His presence being there. And they immediately go to the print, and they try to find some reason why that's not right. It's of the devil. It shouldn't be so. And they can take the very word that brings life, and to them, it doesn't bring life. It slices and dices and brings death because it's not connected to the revelation that comes from Him as a person. So I would challenge you this, in this thing called life, let's learn how to recognize for you as an individual how the Holy Spirit shows you doors that open and shows you how to walk through those doors and shows you how to initiate those doors opening. Because really we're going to get into today, the door is already open. The only place it's not open is between your two ears. If it's not open. Because the door is always open. He said in Revelations, you know, the only time He had to stand at the door and knock was because the door was closed on their end. Because He said, I open the door no man can shut. The heaven is open already. So, go back over to, we're in Ephesians, right? Go to Well, let's go to Luke. Let me just bring this in. I want to talk about today when it comes to learning how to walk through open doors. Really, the key is you do what you know. You know, many folks, they run around from this meeting to that meeting, to this meeting to that meeting, and they try to get a word from the Lord. And they don't understand, why. How come they're not getting a word from the Lord? How come the Lord's not talking to me? Well, did you do the last thing He told you to do? Because until you do that, He won't. There's no sense in giving you something else. So, if we want to see doors open, and I'm talking about, when I speak of doors opening, I'm talking about our influence in society. Because folks, let's just get honest about it. The book of Acts, I think I've mentioned this before, if you look at the book of Acts, do you want to know why there's such a disconnect in modern day thought processes with what went on in the book of Acts versus what, for the most part, goes on in the church world today? Is because we have thought that the book of Acts was a history book. But what the book of Acts really is, it's a blueprint to show you how the gospel of Jesus Christ melds into a society and changes it. So we can't take the gospel and pull out of society and go hide in buildings. Change it into something else and call it the gospel. Because the gospel was always, if you look at the ministry of Jesus, what happened with the ministry of Jesus? He learned how to live connected with His daddy. Things happened right out in the middle of where people were at. And what did it do? It drew the masses. What happened in the ministry of Paul? He would start, his habit was he would start in synagogues and he would give them the gospel in the synagogues, and then if they rejected it, they would go out and he would go into the culture where the people were, and he would speak and he would live connected with daddy out there, and the end result was people would flock to what he was doing. See, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in its uncontaminated form draws the masses. The only time you see that wasn't the case was when Paul went to Athens and he decided to get intellectual with them. And it says when he left there that, you know, there was a few following him. But he tells us to his in his letter to the Corinthians. Did I tell you to go there? Oh, I told you to go to Luke. That's right. Well, we'll come back and visit that one. Yeah, 1 Corinthians. Let's read this verse. 1 Corinthians 16. We'll touch on this and then we'll go back to Acts. In verse 8, he says, I'm going to remain in Ephesus until Pentecost because a wide door for effective service has opened to me. Everybody say a wide door. And there are many adversaries. I mean, you know, when we endeavor, as he said in the book of Acts, we have to, through many persecutions, we must enter into the kingdom of God. He wasn't talking about go to heaven. He was talking about in the everyday life, living in the culture that you're in, and the pressures that darkness brings against us, we must enter into the kingdom of God, not into your head. Do you see that? Paul lived in the culture from the kingdom. We have to enter into the kingdom. We must enter into the kingdom to have an answer for the people in the culture. Right? So, he says, a wide door for effective service has been opened to me. Now, how did that, what do you mean? When he says it was opened to me, what does he mean by that? Well, go back over to Acts chapter 18. I'll revisit Luke here in a minute. Acts 18. And look at verse 5. Now this lays out Paul's method, the way he ministered and his system. And in verse 4 he says he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath. When he went into a town, that's what he did. He'd go into the synagogue and then give them the first shot at it. And he was trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. And while Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. And when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook off his garments and said to them, your blood is on your own heads, I'm clean. From now on, I'll go to the Gentiles. That was his system. Every city he went into. Then he left there, went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, which in the letter to the Corinthians, he said, you know, there's very few people I've baptized. Crispus is one of them. So Crispus' house, he was the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all of his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, they were believing and were baptized. And look at verse 9. Aren't you glad that the word doesn't show Paul as a superhero? How many know he didn't walk around with this aura of a halo around his head? Right? If he walked into this room, he's a dude just like all of us dudes. Right? So the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid. Wrong, that's not what it says. It says stop being afraid. We had no idea reading through this that Paul was afraid. But the Spirit of God appeared to him in a vision. Maybe it was a dream. Doesn't say. He said, stop being afraid. NASB says, do not be afraid any longer. But go on speaking and do not be silent, for I'm with you. And no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. So he settled there for a year and 6 months. And he taught the word of God among them. And then there was an uprising and The crowd tried to cause a riot, and it says the leader, Gallio, said to the Jews, if this is a matter of wrong or vicious crimes, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you, but since it's not, and it's questions about your words, your names, and your own law, you look after it your own self. I'm not willing to be a judge in these matters. So that whole thing didn't work. So then they decided that they were going to go get the leader of the synagogue. At this point, his name was Sosthenes, which if you read your one of the letters to the Corinthians, he's one of the first ones that are mentioned. He became a believer. At this point, he was the leader of the synagogue, and they began to beat him in front of the judgment seat. But Galileo was not concerned about any of these things. So Paul, having remained many days longer, he took leave of the brethren and went out to sea for Syria, and then he names a number of places, on his way to Ephesus. So he came to Ephesus, and he entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. His same system over and over again. Now let me ask you a question. When he was in the previous city that he was in, he had the vision or the dream or whatever it was, and it said, stop being afraid. He said, no man will attack you in order to harm you. I have many people in the city. Now, do you think that was true in Ephesus? Or did that just apply to the city he was in? It applied to Ephesus too. So he came to Ephesus and he left him there. Now he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews, and they asked him to stay for longer. He did not consent, but taking leave of them, saying, I will return to you if God wills, and he set sail from Ephesus. So then he goes to Caesarea, then Antioch, and then he goes into the Galatian region, then Phrygia, and then it talks about this man Apollos, who was an Alexandrian by birth. He was mighty in scriptures, and he talked about, he taught accurately about things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptisms of John. And then it goes in and it says that Paul comes back to Ephesus behind Apollos, and he says he meets these 12 guys, or 12 people. And he asks them, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? Now, how many know he could have started with a number of different things? But he started with that. 12 people. And of course, you know the story. They said, we haven't heard there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, what were you baptized into? And they said, we were baptized into John's baptism. And then he said in verse 4, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe on him who is coming after him. Folks, let me just tell you something. I've said this before. That's not our message. I know that goes over real well. But our message is the kingdom of God is here, and Jesus is the King, and he's alive. They preached the kingdom of God, and they preached the lordship of Jesus, and it was all about demonstrating the resurrection of Jesus, that he's alive. Do you understand that? Do you understand that a message that is simply or merely, I should use that word instead, merely believe on the one who's coming, and so for the forgiveness of your sins, you don't need the kingdom of God to manifest any kinds of validation on that message. Do you understand that? And so do you understand that is the reason why so many folks say, well, why aren't there any signs and wonders today? Because Father validates his word. These signs follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out demons, they'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And he went with them, confirming the word with signs following. He validates the message that's being spoken. If you read your entire book of Acts, read it and read it and read it and read it and read it, you'll find that the reason why the signs and wonders were happening is because of the content of their message. The signs and wonders validated his stamp of approval on the message. The fact that it was true. The fact that it was real. The fact that Jesus really is alive. So it may seem like a slight thing, but folks, it's a big, big deal. Because one message, you don't need any confirmation from heaven on what you're saying. The other one, we have to have it. And because we have to have it, it takes walking in the revelation from heaven to get in front of a society that can't see what you're seeing, can't hear what you're hearing, and expect the Spirit of God to open their heart and show them that what you're saying, and if need be, these signs will follow you that believe in His name, what you're saying is so. That's the way the track is laid, and nothing else is good enough. If you'll study your Bible, and I'm getting off my message here, but if you study your Bible and you'll read when Paul talked about the wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stone, as a master builder, I've laid a foundation. Be mindful how you build thereon. If you'll read all of that letter up to that point, the things that are producing wood, hay, and stubble is the wisdom of man. And the thing that produces the gold, silver, and precious stone is that which the world considers foolish. And he's simply saying, look, in my ministry, in my life, I've shown you what the blueprint is. This is how the track is laid. I speak a wisdom that's not coming from man. I'm speaking it from the Spirit of God. It's a hidden mystery. The natural man can't understand that because he can't discern spiritual things. So be mindful how you're building on the foundation that I've left, the blueprint that I've left, because this is the way it's supposed to look. Is this making sense? See, here's the thing, guys. I know that we can believe me, this kind of stuff can make you uncomfortable. Because it has me. But I'd rather be uncomfortable and let the Holy Spirit show me how to change and get in step with Him than defend my right to be right and not be free. I don't want to get to heaven and realize, oh man, there's a whole lot more in you that I never even saw. Because I liked my little piece of property. So where are we at? We're over in Acts chapter 19. So the story, he starts off with 12 folks. He lays hands on them in Acts 19:6, and they begin to speak with tongues and prophesy. Now, I want you to notice a shift here. That before, they learned things that were about Jesus. But when one came who was speaking from Him, in the sight of Him, gave them the fullness of the gospel, and He laid hands on them, then they began to speak from Him, in the sight of Him. If you again, read the book of Acts, and what happens, what does the book of Acts reveal, and what does he talk about in his letter to the Corinthians about, what is this whole issue of tongues? Well, it says in Acts chapter 2 that when they were speaking in tongues on the day of Pentecost, that the people were hearing the mighty deeds of God. Very important that you understand that word of is not the word about. Did you hear what I just said? That's not the word about. The word of means they belong to Him. When you read the writings of Paul, you better read when he talks about, you know, speaking of, we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind that belongs to Him. It's coming from Him. He gave us His Spirit so that we will know what He's given us. So when they were speaking in tongues, they were not speaking about something, they were speaking from Him. And then it says, They were prophesying, and that's just another way of saying, you know, the word prophecy means to remove the veil, to reveal the mind of another. So they went from knowing about the person of Jesus to speaking from him in the sight of him. My prayer is that we never get comfortable just speaking about him. Nothing wrong with that, but let's not stay there. I love what we did today, learning how to minister to people on the spontaneous moment. I love that. Because what are you doing? You're training yourself to draw out of what's in your spirit by the Spirit of God that's in you. You're learning how to speak from him. Right? So, he laid hands on them. They began to speak in tongues and prophesy. And there was about 12 men. And so he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. What was he persuading them about? The kingdom of God. He said in Acts 14:22, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. He wasn't talking about it. I'll tell you why we know that when we get to the end here. He wasn't talking concerning the kingdom. He was talking from the kingdom, showing them things in scriptures, but he was all from the revelation that the kingdom was bringing. And when they became hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way before the people, he withdrew from them and took away the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Now let me ask you a question. Has anything that we've seen in Ephesus changed from the previous time that it mentioned? He's doing the same thing, right? I said, right? He's doing the same thing. This is the way he ministered. But notice what happened. In verse 10 it says, this took place for 2 years. For 2 years, he was doing what he knew. But notice what happened in verse 11. It just says out of the blue, God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So that handkerchiefs and aprons were even carried from his body, and the sick and the diseased left them, and the evil spirits went out. Now, we get this impression that after 2 years plus, all of a sudden this stuff started happening. But that's not what that verse says. It just tells you that somewhere in this period, he came upon, in fact, the way it's written in the Greek, it's really the idea of he stumbled upon, or literally he hit on uncommon and exceptional works of power. How many know the Holy Spirit's a suddenly? He doesn't give you, okay, well today at about 2:30, I'm going to really show up. Now it says that during this time period, doesn't even tell you when. He was already doing, there was already signs following him that believe, because that's just, that he showed, this is my blueprint. But at some point, the Spirit of God stepped it up a notch. And he was just doing what he knew. Right? He was just doing what he knew. He did the same thing in Ephesus that he did in the previous cities, and he was just doing what he knew. And these signs were following him that believed. And, you know, so he was laying hands on the sick, and they were recovering. He was speaking from the kingdom of God, about the kingdom of God, demonstrating the kingdom of God. But at some point in time, he hit on uncommon and exceptional works of power that were being done through his hands that God was doing. That's literally what that verse says. And it all started by just doing what you know. How do we change a city? You do what you know. I love hearing testimonies of you folks praying for people and seeing God do stuff. He's not done. He's not done with your family, and he's not done with you in society either. But we just do what we know. And you do what you know, and you do what you know, and you do what you know. See, here's the thing that we need to understand. We hear, you know, Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 6, he talked about, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, minds, and dominions, right? And we like to think about wrestling with demons and all that kind of stuff and pulling down strongholds. Well, let's get real. Paul knew what the Word said, and I don't have time to go through it today, but Paul knew what the Word said concerning the Gentiles. Because you read about it even when this whole thing is over with. It's like Paul came to a level of, okay, now I've seen it all, and now I want to go someplace no one's been. I'm going to Rome. I know no one's been there. I'm going to go preach the gospel where nobody else has laid a foundation. I want to go there. I've seen it all now. And he set his sights on Rome in his spirit, and that's where he was going to go. But he knew from Old Testament writings, he knew the prophetic words that God had said about raising up a people from the Gentiles that have never seen. And he grabbed onto that because he knew his assignment was the Gentiles. And so his lifestyle, listen to me, his lifestyle and the way he conducted himself everywhere he went and his expectations everywhere he went were the same. And by doing that, that is as much warfare, if I can use that word, as anything else. You do what you know, you do what you know, you do what you know, you do what you know. Your lifestyle is putting pressure on darkness to get out of the way. It's not about the screaming, the yelling, hooping, and pulling down this devil and that devil, blah, blah, blah. Let's just order our lifestyle. We're just going to do what we know. And by doing what he knew, everywhere he went, all the time, every time, any time, he was essentially saying to the Lord concerning those verses in the Old Testament prophetic writings, I'm going to raise up a people from the Gentiles that they don't know, but they will. He was essentially saying, be it unto me. One translation says, let it be to me according to your word. Even though he may not have said that, we don't see him saying that, but we know by his lifestyle and what he did, by his actions, he was living, let it be unto me according to your word. Let's close, but go over to just Luke 1:37. Speaking of Mary, since it's Mother's Day. Aren't you glad this girl was willing to become a mom? Luke 1:37. The angel that appeared to her said this. Nothing, this is out of the Message translation, nothing you see is impossible with God. And then Mary said, I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you've said. Let it be with me just as you say. When Paul ministered, he was essentially saying, pulling from what he saw in the Old Testament prophetic writings about raising up a people out of the Gentiles, let it be with me the way you say. When you live life, if you want to open doors, if you want to learn how to minister in that place of, instead of reading about it, you're living it. It starts with, do what you know, and have the attitude every day you get up and do what you know, you're saying, without having to say it, let it be to me according to what you say. I have more, but because of time, we'll stop there. Did you guys get anything out of this? Well, I'm glad you get something out of it. I'm going to sing you something. I'm only doing this because I got the idea from him. How many of our music will make things stick? Not sure how we're going to do this, but you have some words in your notes, and you're familiar, I'm sure most of you are familiar with this song. Just tweaked it a little bit. I want this to stick. I want this message to stick. How many ever heard that old song Paul McCartney wrote? Let It Be. Anybody familiar with that? That's a pretty new song.
Sometimes I've told, I'm spinning, I'm spinning.
blessed Mother's Day. Know that you are blessed. You're appreciated.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.